بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن صخر بن وداعة الغامدي الصحابي رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم بارك لأمتي في بكورها. وكان إذا بعث سرية أو جيشا بعثهم من أول النهار. وكان صخر تاجرا، فكان يبعث تجارته أول النهار فأثر وكثر ماله. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال حديث حسن. This hadith dealing with the etiquette of traveling, one aspect that it is sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would prefer to start his journey on a Thursday. However, as we mentioned, this is not a hard and fixed rule. Obviously, when it comes to traveling, there are other considerations that have to be taken into account. If one has a flight or one has a train or a bus, etc., to catch, then if it's not on a Thursday, there will be permissibility in that regard. This is where a person is planning in advance. If he has the opportunity, then like the Sahabi Ka'b bin Malik radiyallahu anhu says, لَقَلَّمَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْخَمِيسِ. It was very rare that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would undertake a journey except that on a Thursday. However, the last journey of the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Pak صلى الله عليه وسلم commenced this on a Saturday. So from this we can see, as I mentioned, this is not a hard and fixed rule. The second aspect, we touched on it quite a bit yesterday. Unfortunately, if you look at the commercial world, if you look at the educational, from an educational aspect, or even from a financial aspect, the whole world today understands the value of starting early. We'll see when Fajr, particularly in the winter months, after Fajr you step out of the masjid, already the roads are full of cars, people are going in different directions. Unfortunately, when it comes to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah of Islam and Deen, many of us, if we look at our jamaats also, when we are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sleep after Fajr or after Ishraq is almost compulsory. Whereas we find that if we look at the Islamic mizaj and temperament, a Muslim is supposed to be starting early, sleep early at night, and start your day early. Don't get into a habit, if you can avoid it, of sleeping, because the time after Ishraq, as we see in this hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam particularly made dua. The narrator of the hadith, Sakhar bin Wada' al-Ghamidi, sahabi radiyallahu an, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. What dua? Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Now this word barik is what we call the tense of it. From a grammatical point of view, is we call it is mufa'ala. Now mufa'ala in Arabic, for those who understand, carries a meaning of mubalagha. In other words, emphasis. Allahumma barik. In other words, anzilil barakatal azimatal kathira. That, oh Allah, send down great barakat, great blessings for my ummat fi bukuriha, for those who will start early. Bukur means the early part of the morning, immediately after Ishraq. So those who start their endeavors, whether dunya or deen, start early, they will get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is from this hadith we learn that this period is a mubarak period. In the morning, early. It's impossible to obviously maximize the potential of that if we are going to be in a habit of sleeping late. This is why after Isha, beyond necessities, we should try and sleep early so that we can start our day early also. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. O Allah, greatly bless my ummat in its early part of the morning. Awwalun nahar. Wa kana idha ba'atha sariyatan aw jayshan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would send an expedition out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would send them in the first part of the morning. This is why we find that mashallah our pedal jamaats also. Generally, when they move from one area to the next area, we find this is part of sunnah. And this is established in hadith to give preference to the early part of the morning for undertaking one journey, or going out in the path of Allah or whatever it may be. This is not, as I mentioned, specific to a journey of jihad or a journey of a dini temperament or background. Sometimes a person may say, you know what, when I'm going tabligh, I'm going jamaat, I'm going to travel, then I'll start early in the morning. But the rest of it, I don't have to. Then the sahabi, who is the narrator of the hadith, in other words, heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took the meaning more for dunya than deen, as we find in the latter part of the hadith, where it is mentioned, وَكَانَ سَخْرًا تَاجِرًا. The narrator of the hadith, Sakhr radiallahu anhu, was a businessman. وَكَانَ يَبْعَثُ تِجَارَتَهُ أَوَّلَ النَّهَارِ. And to practice upon this and get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would send his trade expedition, he would send his goods out for sale in the early part of the morning. فَأَثْرَى. He became very wealthy. وَكَثُرَ مَالُهُ. His wealth increased. Allah Ta'ala gave him a lot of barakah and blessings in his earnings. So this is one, sometimes we have a problem, we look for a nuskha, we look for some prescription, some solution. Before you can solve a problem, you have to diagnose it correctly. Sometimes people feel that, you know, no matter how much effort I'm making, there's no barakat, my wealth is not increasing, my dunya is not doing well. So this is one aspect that we can look at, that when are we starting? Start early, then we find in the light of this hadith, it doesn't have to be a hard and fast rule, but far as possible, let us try and maximize the potential of the early part of the morning. More from a dini aspect, but even from a dunya aspect also. And we find that the reason Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced this hadith in this particular chapter, we learn that when you have the choice, obviously if not a fixed train or a bus or a plane, when you have the choice, then choose a Thursday to undertake your journey and try and start your journey in the early part of the morning to get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third aspect, important sunnah when it comes to traveling. One more point ulama mentioned, that if you start early, particularly if you look at the context in which these ahadith were mentioned, these were desert dwellers. They were traveling in the desert. So the challenges that they faced are more specific to a very hot climate and more specific to a desert background. Hot climate, start early, benefit from the coolness. Secondly, it's possible that you may be ill prepared or you may encounter difficulties on your journey. If you start early in the morning, it gives you time and opportunity to address that. Another important aspect, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. We made the day a means of acquiring your livelihood. So, start the day early, then it is also practicing upon the Quran. The third sunnah we learn, sometimes we have a choice when you are undertaking a journey. Here, obviously, we're not talking about, by journey is not meant short, frequent travel. For example, you go every day to work, or you're going every day from one point to another point. This is meant when you're leaving the town, going to the next town, or going on to some distance. Then we learn from this chapter that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, that as far as possible, avoid traveling alone. Try and travel in a group, try and travel in a jamaat. The chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is brought, Babu Istihbabi Talabir Rifqa. The chapter which deals with the desirability of seeking companionship in your journey. In other words, don't travel alone. وَتَأْمِيرِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَاحِدًا يُطِيعُونَهُ. Second part of the heading Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is brought, is that appoint someone as an Amir. Whether you are traveling, we are on a holiday, vacation, going in the path of Allah Ta'ala, going for some business, whatever it may be, try and avoid traveling alone and appoint someone as an Amir. يُطِيعُونَهُ. And obviously when it comes to having an Amir, There's no point in having an Amir if you're not going to obey the Amir. The point, the psychology behind having an Amir is to obey that Amir. So yuti'unahu. Imam Nawawi rahimullah has brought this as part of his heading, that obey that Amir. By obey the Amir is meant, obey the Amir in aspects of the journey. For example, if you make mashura, listen, we have to move at a certain time, it's decided by mashura a certain time, take that seriously. If it is decided that you have zimmedari, responsibility to see to the food, preparing the sandwiches or whatever it may be, whatever responsibility is given, it is part of sunnah and part of sharia to obey that and implement that. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو أن الناس يعلم من الوح لا لو أن الناس يعلمون من الوحدة ما أعلم ما سار راكب بليل وحده رواه البخاري. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. Now this is literal translation as to the emphasis which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed upon not traveling, one, alone, and secondly, particularly the second part of the warning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives in this hadith is pertinent to the conditions. In other words, the desert climate, the dangers that the darkness imposed, many instances it was jungle, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the companions. He said, if the people had to come to know about being alone in a journey, that which I know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have just said, don't travel at night or don't travel alone. But look at the wording of the hadith, the manner of expression. If you people had to come to know that which I know about the harms and dangers of traveling alone, you would never undertake a journey at night alone. So two prohibitions. One is traveling at night if you can avoid it. Secondly, traveling alone. Particularly alone and at night, as far as possible, avoid that. But if it's not the night, it's daytime, there also this aspect of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would apply. That it is part of sunnah, that when you, where possible, if you are undertaking a journey, then don't travel alone, travel in company with somebody. Now the question will arise that is it permissible for a person to travel alone? Because we see the severity of the warning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, that if you people had to come to know the harms of it. We find that yes, there are instances where sometimes an emergency came up. Or sometimes we find in the case of Sahaba also, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to send a Sahabi as a spy, or for some, there was some shari'i necessity or need that other people shouldn't come to know why this person is undertaking a particular journey. So in that instance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that in shariat, in ahadith also, for example, on the occasion of Khandaq, in the battle of the trench, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zubair radiallahu ta'ala who is a spy. So there it was done secretly, and there he undertook that particular journey, although it was a short journey, alone. This is why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has dedicated a chapter in his Bukhari Sharif, the heading of the chapter of a man traveling alone. So in other words, it will be permissible. But from the mizaj and temperament of these ahadith, we learn that as far as possible, we should try and avoid this. SubhanAllah.